If you're able, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? And today we're taking a testimony to us out of St. Luke's book of the Acts of the Apostles. And we're going to begin reading with the 12th verse. And there is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. May the Lord bless us with his holy word. Thank you. Be seated. You know, there's a powerful text in the scriptures, and of course they are all powerful, but to set for you the context of this verses I've read today is that the situation was this. Peter and John had healed a man, and it caused considerable commotion in Jerusalem. And so Peter and John had been hauled before the council and to be questioned. And actually, the purpose of bringing them there was to intimidate them and to threaten them. That was the real. They just didn't want to gather information. They wanted to intimidate and threaten. And so bringing them into their presence, so what does Peter and John do? They tell the story of Jesus, of how he'd been crucified by them and that had been rejected by them, and yet God had made him the chief cornerstone of all things. And and so I'm sure the council was set back on their heels by this boldness that they proclaimed the gospel. And it says they could say nothing, though, because the man they'd healed, the authentication of their healing, this man being healed was right there in front of them. And then they go on to tell these rulers of Jerusalem that, and I would tell the whole world today, anybody listening, radio, anywhere, that there was no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved except Jesus Christ. The church needs to announce that boldly. Do you know that? We got churches in this city preaching the rubbish that all roads lead to heaven. A lie, lie from the pit of hell. Don't believe it. There is only one way we are saved, and that is through and in the power of Jesus Christ. Allah's not going to do it. Buddha's not going to do it. The Bhagavad Gita of the Hindus is not going to do it. Only Jesus Christ will save you. And if you're running down another trail, you're running down the wrong trail. And I could go on preaching about that. That verse excites me, but today I want to call attention to something else. You remember how cowardly Peter was and how fearful John was after Christ was crucified, even before he was crucified, Peter denying him. You remember how frightened they were, how insecure they were, how uncertain they were. And then he rose from the dead. And even when Peter thought he'd given up on him, he came up to Galilee and brought him back into ministry. The resurrection transformed the view of the disciples, and it should transform your view. The world's trying to tell you where happiness and power is. That's all a lie. There's no security in the world, not one bit. But there is eternal security in Jesus Christ. You know that whatever happens to you, if you're in him, you're going to live. Isn't that good to know that? You walk into the doctor's office and maybe get a terminal diagnosis. That's not the end of the world. Oh, it's hard to go through, no doubt. But you're going to live. You're not going to die. Or suppose the times get worse than they are now and Christians are threatened, as they're being threatened daily in the country ruled by Islam, the religion of peace. Ha ha. Those people aren't afraid. They know there's nothing that can be done to them that will overcome the power of Christ's saving grace in their life. they're going to live. And so that transformed their lives. They became bold rather than cowardly. They became assured rather than unsure. Dramatically changed their life, this experience they had of being with Jesus. And when the scribes and the rulers of Jerusalem looked at them, what did it say? They recognized they had been with Jesus. They recognized they had been with Jesus. Now, I'm going to make some of you mad right now. I intend to. I really do. Alistair Begg's a preacher up in Solon, Ohio. I had a privilege of meeting him a few times. He's got a church, and there'll be 8,000 people there at that church in the four services they have, or five. And he was asked on the radio in Cleveland one time, he said, Dr. Begg, you have all these services. How many members does your church have? And Dr. Begg, he's an honest man. He's a Scotchman. He's an honest man. He says, well, we have about 8,000 on Sunday. But on Wednesday night, we have 140 people. So I guess the real membership of the chapel here is about 140 people. We are engaged in our Bible studies on the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, if I were a really bad preacher, I would come down in the audience today and ask some of you with a microphone and say, what did Jesus have to say about this? Would you feel comfortable if I did that? I have but one concern before me as pastor of this church. It is not to get you to like me, which I hope you do. It is not to get you to be entertained by me. It is not anything else but to see that you come to believe in Christ, but not only to believe in him, but to give your life to him and to live for him. Because that's the only real life you're going to have in this world. And it is so important for you to hear what I'm saying today. I mean, I'm sure you got things. We have Bible study twice a week, teach the same lesson twice a week. I mean, I'm going to tell you what goes on in the NFL tonight is not going to save your soul. In fact, I believe that National Football League and ESPN is a spiritual detriment to the United States as a whole. And if you buy a ticket to go to any movie produced by Hollywood, you've sinned. Preacher, my Lord. But that's a fact. That does not honor God. And our purpose is to live to his honor and glory, is it not? So the apostles were identified by the fact that they had walked with Jesus. How will you be identified? I pray that all of us shall be identified as men and women and boys and girls that have been with Jesus. But let me tell you something. If you want to be with Jesus, you have got to spend time with him. Now, I want to first say that to know and to be with Jesus means that you have to learn about Jesus. Young people, it's so important for you all to learn your lessons in high school, trigonometry and all that stuff that I had a hard time with. Some of it's probably snap for you. But our history. History was easy for me and probably bore some of you out of your minds. But it's so important to learn those things. But the most important thing for you to learn is to learn about your Savior, His life, and His teachings. And if you don't learn that, you will remain ignorant of the most important things of life. Now, having said that to young people, who I want to say to this church, do a far better job of reaching out to lost people than most of you adults. Having said that to them, I want to say it's equally true of you. You must learn of Jesus. How do you learn of Jesus? Well, you learn by reading the Bible, the Gospels, studying them. When a person first becomes a Christian, I always send them to read the Gospel of John and the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is such an important lesson. We're going to be going through that again in detail in our Bible studies here as we learn about Jesus. Right now we're looking at the chief quality of his life, which is the great agape, the divine love of God. But I want to tell you, people that are not involved, that you are impoverishing your Christian life if you do not take the opportunities to learn and to study about the Savior. And it's not to me you're going to answer to, but it's God Almighty is going to ask of you, Did you avail in this earthly life the opportunities to know my son and to know him completely? Well, I would have, but gee, the Panthers were playing at time by. Oh, I would have, but my card circle was meeting together on that Wednesday. So, you know, I just kind of, you know, you understand, don't you? He understands perfectly. It is that there's something you love more than him. You know, when it comes to the choice between the Lord and something else, you always decide what you love the most. Sorry. I said, boy, send that guy back to Mississippi. But the thing is, folks, I say this because I love you. You have to learn of Jesus. Every opportunity you can, learn of him. Learn of him. Watch Dr. Jeremiah on television, Dr. Youssef, and Dr. Graham, and Dr. Stanley. Avail yourself of those opportunities. Instead of listening to that rap music riding down the radio, or on the radio driving down the road, listen to BBN and some of those great Christian broadcastings. I listen to Adrian Rogers every day. He's been dead a long time. But Lord, he blesses me. I learn something new about Jesus every time I listen to him. People are identified as disciples of Jesus Christ because they are people who have walked with him, whose life and thoughts are focused on him. And you know, I always tell people that one of the great battlegrounds of walking with Jesus is the human mind. The human mind. Paul says, take every thought captive to Christ. How do you do that? What's he meaning? He's meaning that in our minds and in our reflections, when we have thoughts that, because we know Jesus, that we know are not his way or are not his outlook, we condemn them. We take them captive and say, this is not the way. Christ is the way. And the more you learn about him and the more you study his life and teachings, the more enabled you are to take power in the struggles of the mind. I always tell folks that true Christianity is an inside job. You know, there are a lot of people that sparkle on the outside. They may look like a Christian. God knows it. I was once such a person. I was once like a shining tomb full of dead men's bones. It's a real shock to discover that about your life. But the true expression of our life in Christ is inward first. Inward surrender to The Spirit that would lead us not to learn about Him, not to spend time reading the Bible, not to spend time in meditation and prayerful reflection of bringing our life before Him or bringing certain situations before Him and say, Lord, how shall I be with You and in You in this situation? You see, to be with Christ, friends, involves a conscious, disciplined effort. When he saves you from apart from anything you've done. But to grow in Him, it does involve us, and it does involve our surrender, and it does involve being discipled by Him and by other godly biblical teachers who are faithful to Him. You know, everybody knows I'm a farmer at heart. I really am. Not a very good one. My bean crop this last year didn't do worth a hoot. But I used to get tickled up in Ohio. There were tons of cowboys up there in that town. They'd get out of their trucks with all the junk hanging on them and come out walking in with cowboy boots and jeans and a $300 Stetson hat and walk around town. And I knew for a fact their feet had never been around cow manure. Their image was being shaped by something, wasn't it? That's where they spent their time and they invested it in. Dear friends, be authentic. Be authentic Christians. Be identifiable as a Christian, because people will know that you have been with Jesus. Learn all you can about Him. You don't have enough lifetime left to learn it all, but learn all you can about Him. And what you learn, He does not want us to hide. But what we learn, He wants expressed in our life. To walk the path of forgiveness, of love, of mercy, of grace. All those things we learn about Him. And we learn about Him because we spend time with Him. We spend time today worshiping Him. He loves it when you worship Him. Did you know that? The Lord lives, it says, in the praise of His people. That doesn't mean His life is dependent on whether we praise Him or not. But what that term really means is that it just fills His heart with joy. And the people listening on the radio is able to be at church and not, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. We love you, but you ought to be ashamed. Because the Lord wants you here praising Him together with His people. Let us set as our aim to be easily identified because we have been with Jesus. Is He the priority of your life? Is living for Jesus the priority of your life? Is desiring to truly know Him and be with Him the priority of your life? When there's an opportunity to be with Him in prayer, in Bible study, in worship, in private home Bible reading and prayer, when the choices between that are with something else, are you really living for Him? Will you be identified not as just being a nice fellow, but will you be identified by even people who hate the gospel, as did the scribes and Pharisees? Will you be identified as one of those people who has been with Jesus? I want to close by reminding us of the words of an old hymn that is true. words to encourage you. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Dearest friends, the joyful, the truly peaceful, the truly powerful life is the life lived in the presence of the Savior. Don't count on being happy any other way. The world is so designed that it will not work any other way. Make it your mark to be identifiable as to who you are, because you have been with Jesus. To Christ be the glory and the honor and the power forever and ever, and the people of God said, Amen. Thank you.